The next topic addressed was adjuvant endocrine therapy, and our Patterns of Care survey demonstrated that about half of the surgical investigators and a third of surgeons in practice initiate adjuvant endocrine therapy themselves in specific clinical situations. Dr. Ravden began by commenting on the major shift that's occurred in recent years in endocrine treatment of postmenopausal patients, where tamoxifen has been substantially replaced by the aromatase inhibitors, which are being given for increasing periods of time.
A preamble to this would be to say what a wonderful drug tamoxifen is, because tamoxifen cuts the risk of recurrence by about 40% and the risk of breast cancer-related mortality by about 30%. And that's quite clear. Now, aromatase inhibitors are therefore, in trials like the ATAC trial, where they're compared to tamoxifen, a step beyond tamoxifen. However, they're a modest step beyond tamoxifen. The additional recurrence benefit is about 20% benefit. And the additional benefit in terms of survival is somewhere around perhaps 5 to 10%. That's such a small number that it is not statistically significant in the ATAC trial. There are some trials in which there was switching after 3 years of tamoxifen. And in those trials, the aromatase inhibitors, there is a meta-analysis of those trials that suggests that there's a survival advantage there. So I think that in postmenopausal patients, aromatase inhibitors are a modest step forward in hormonal therapy, that they're better than tamoxifen, unambiguously for disease-free survival, probably for survival as well, although the additional survival benefit is small enough that it does not reach statistical significance.
And certainly we've seen in our patterns of care studies of medical oncologists a major, you know, pretty much complete shift over. I thought one of the most interesting slides at San Antonio was where they looked at the issue of carryover effect after hormonal therapy stopped. Mike, can you talk about what was seen with an aromatase inhibitor and how that compares to what had been seen in the past with tamoxifen?
Well, we saw with tamoxifen that it almost got better over time, and that's exactly what we've seen with aromatase inhibitors. The thing I'd just point out about the problem about these adjuvant trials is I really do think we've got the wrong endpoints in these trials. Overall survival in this elderly population where over 50% of the people are going to die of other causes is not really a good endpoint to compare drugs. For me, something like metastatic free survival would be a much better endpoint. So what we've seen is if these curves diverge, and perhaps they may continue to diverge, we may see eventually some small improvement in survival. As a surgeon, though, a lot of these events that these aromatase inhibitors prevent, and even in the MA17, are local events and second cancers, which for me is quite important, because I don't want to be my patients who've had breast conserving surgery to be coming back with a second cancer in the treated breast or another cancer in the opposite breast. So although we cast them off, these extra events, as they're not important in relation to mortality, they are really important in relation to patients' quality of life and also in relation to surgeons' quality of life.
Mark?
Neil, I think we have a tremendous opportunity here with these very large adjuvant trials comparing AIs to tamoxifen, because we have the opportunity to take a look at the CYP2D6 polymorphisms in the tamoxifen-treated arm. Yeah. We may be looking at a composite of effects with regard to the efficacy of tamoxifen in these trials, and there may well be a group of patients, the slow metabolizers of tamoxifen, who greatly benefit from AIs, and conversely, there may be a group that greatly benefit from tamoxifen, maybe even superior to the AIs. And this is a fantastic opportunity, you know, if we have access to these samples, to look at the CYP2D6 genotypes.